Hello, hello, Jaguru. Gotta get us back out of these little boxes here. Speaker. What is immersive? Choose immersive view. Gather everyone in the same view. Huh.
Namaskar.
Jaguru.
Jaguru, hey guys.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Put us in speaker view.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Keith.
Hey, Keith.
Yeah, I had a, my internet provider, their service blacked out for like over a day. So I couldn't be here last week.
Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah.
They had to actually come out to my house and fix it.
Oh, so it wasn't just in the neighborhood, it was your specific house, you mean?
Well, it was the neighborhood, but then also because I had some kind of a old-fashioned block thing outside my house in the box, and they had to take that off, and that for some reason that caused me not to be able to get back on when everybody else got back on. So,
gotcha.
It was frustrating, maddening, mm-hmm. going through all this stuff, you know, trying to figure out what.
Well, and you can watch your mind and all the things that your mind is saying about the things that aren't happening, trying to create the illusion that they're happening so that you can get upset about them.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that a great idea? It's like, it seems like so many things are happening, but.
But that's the trick, too, to catch your mind, because your mind is that constant dialogue about like what's going on in the world and this is important and all this sort of stuff. And you can start to catch your mind saying, oh, look at this. It's talking about this and that. And you don't flow along with those thoughts because you're like, wait a minute. You can instantly drop back and say, oh, it's like a dream.
Yeah.
In my dream, I have a commenter commenting. And in my dream, it also appears real because I've taken a local identification inside the dream. Rather than just knowing that I'm the formlessness in which all this dream is occurring, I somehow identify with one of the dream characters and say, oh, I'm inside the dream. But then when you wake up, you absolutely know that all of this was occurring inside yourself. So then what was actually happening inside the dream? Because when you wake up, the dream is finished. So what were the consequences of any of the actions inside of the dream?
So last week, me not being here was no different than me being here now.
We are always here. You were here in the form of Trish and Jordan and Alan. And, you know, everybody, we have, it says Anar, but you're not Anar. You're
Paul.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was Paul. I got thrown off. I was like, and Anar. Wait a minute. That's not Anar.
Another life. I used to work a lot in nutrition, and I took up the name Anarchy just to change people's mind state. But I'm sorry that pops up still. Paul was the name my mom gave the body, you know. T O U L. Thank you for knowing the difference. I came late. Sorry for arriving late.
It's all good, no worries.
Cool.
It was nice listening to the broadcast without me being there.
Good. But yeah, just always kind of remember that everything that you're aware of is other than yourself. And the only reason that you are aware of anything is because of identification inside of your own self as something separate that you are not.
It's like just, that's just the way it works, I guess.
Well, it's like, you know, suddenly imagine, and this would be kind of cool, if you became aware of yourself as something separate at this age of the body. Then you would know, like, wait a minute, I wasn't born because I don't look like I could come from any place. But because of the way the whole system is devised, you, from a small child, are, oh, now you're aware. And then you're aware of yourself as something separate rather than just aware. Because you give yourself a local identification. The space in the room suddenly identifies with locally and then sees objects within the space, believing itself to be separate and seeing something. That's not true. And again, think about the dream. In the dream, you absolutely know you're formless, right? And suddenly you have this feeling, I exist, and this dream world is projected. But it came out of nothing, and it's formless. And the only reason you're seeing the dream is because you're identifying with something inside the dream as something separate from the formlessness. Because if you did not identify with one of the objects inside the dream, how would you know the dream? How would you even know there was a dream? But because of identification with one of the objects inside the dream, seeing a dream, when you wake up, you say, oh, I was dreaming.
Well, you could say, I'm identifying, I'm not identifying with myself. I'm identifying an object. And I'm not, I could say I'm not identifying myself while I'm identifying an object. I could say that, but it might not be accurate.
But you didn't become aware of the dream until, even if you're dreaming you're a rabbit, you didn't become aware of the dream as something, until you identified with one of the objects inside the dream and said, this is me. Like the rabbit, if you're dreaming you're a rabbit, you're identified through the concept of being a rabbit around other objects, but in reality, this is not true. And you could dream you're being a fish, or you could dream you're a person drowning. It's only because this awareness of the dream would not be there without some kind of local identification, without some kind of a, I am a dreamer, dreaming.
That's kind of what we do with time. We identify time as if it's something, but it can't be anything without us.
Only with a local identification. That's the thing. When you know yourself in a real sense, you're formless. And this local identification, I'm not identifying with this local identification. I'm understanding that this is like the telescope that I'm seeing inside myself, but it's not myself. I'm actually seeing myself, this creation, this consciousness, this whatever you want to call it. And the only reason I'm seeing that is because there's awareness of something. Oh, I exist. And just like in dream, that I exist, boom, the entire dream world is created. And, oh, I exist. The existence is there, the sense of existence. The formless awareness that is aware of nothing, because there's nothing to be aware of, suddenly is clicking with the body. And now there are many things to be aware of, because I believe myself to be seeing from a separate position.
Is it possible for that the world to not be here?
Well, the world is not here. Just as your dream world tonight. If you're having a dream, but you're not identified with any object within the dream, then there would be no awareness of the dream, but the dream would very much be there. But you, how would you know that dream is there? Because you're not. The world seemingly is here only because of identification locally. The totality of all things, of everything that's flowing. You can call it life force. You can call it I am. You can call it selfless self, whatever. It's all of everything. And then suddenly there's a local identification. And from this point of view, they're seeing. And as Maharaj says, these are the wrong files that I'm seeing things. No, there are appearances within my own self. And I'm aware of these appearances as something separate because of this body being available. But I don't need to identify myself as this body and all these other things as separate from me. I know myself as the totality that just happens to be viewing this totality that I am through this specific body form. And seemingly engaged in activities within my own self, that's the truth, but I appear to be a doer, doing things. But when I know myself in a real sense, I know this is all just going on inside myself. How can I be a doer? It's not possible. So that's why when you know yourself in a real sense, then it's finished. Let the world be the world, let the things come and go, let everything do what it's going to do, knowing that it's all occurring within your own self.
So the apparent contradictions will just no longer be contradictions. Just...
Well, like we started out the whole thing saying, how your mind, you said about like, oh, this thing, you know, they had to come to my house and fix my cable box and all this sort of thing. And everything that the mind was saying about the situation was trying to create an unreality and present it to you. And if you identify with a person or something, an object within this creation, and you say, oh, then you identify with this mind flow that this is very inconvenient. This is a terrible thing. And the mind is flow. You are flowing along with these mind created thoughts to create a story about something that's occurring within your own self. But through the concept of separation, you're having an experience. And that's not true. And that's why you can leave your mind alone. Allow these thoughts to flow by. Which ones to accept, which not to accept, it's up to you. Maharaj says, okay, if you're hungry, then you go eat. It's a food body, needs food, provide food. I'm hungry. Okay.
So at that point, do you say, can you say to yourself, well, that never happened. What I experienced never happened.
Well, you know yourself in a real sense. This sense of presence, this subtle, just I, everything is appearing within that. And you're the knower of this, so nothing's happening. How can anything be happening? You're this formlessness in which all of this appearance is appearing. But how can anything be happening? When you know yourself in a real sense and you just sit with your own selfless self, then you know that you're more like the space than the objects within the space. And then the objects within the space are moving about, but are you moving them? And then we get to how Advaita explains that these are the gunas, that they're providing the movement, the activity, the actions. And then I think it's the tamas guna, you're taking credit for all these actions that are actually occurring within your own self, by saying, I'm doing them. And worse, if you say, oh, I did a very bad thing. Or something happens in your life and you say, well, I must have been born into bad karma life this time because last time I must have been a real son of a gun. Or then you could say, I was so spiritual in my last life that I was born in this life because I knew I would evolve and I could handle whatever's going on. But you're not born, you're formless. All this is illusion. All this is a flow of thought. And none of it relates to your own self.
That's where my brain kind of goes. based off that, is like thinking of like, perhaps I'm saying the word wrong, but the basanas are like those, like those deep grooves, those habits, you know, as opposed to like a regular dream state, say like this dream, this waking dream, you know, has those, like, whether it's addictions or like, you know, trauma or whatever that, like, the case may be, like these like deep wells of suffering. And I'm curious, like seeing through that in this projection, like, and knowing that I'm this formlessness, why does this pattern appear, and what's next when it's gone? Like another projection of some other form, or just that complete, you know, like awareness without knowing itself?
Well, basically, again, the space in the room is identified with a body and then said, I'm doing these various things. When you talk about vasanas and like these deep-rooted behaviors, these are habitual things that the body is doing and going through, and it's a mixture of the gunas. It's explained like the ingredients that make certain things. We have certain ingredients, and when they're all put together, we call it apple pie, or we call it a cake, or we call it the experience of your life. But these are just ingredients in the five elements that are getting together and variously creating this experience that you believe yourself to be experiencing. But when you know yourself in a real sense, you know there's no experience, no experiencer. And even this so-called journey, where now you're starting to feel the presence and you're starting to remain in presence, and you can say, well, it's because of my life and the way I went through all these experiences. Okay, you were basically just kind of detaching from the world, which everyone does. Like, you're going to have mom die and dad dies. And if you have attachment to mom and dad, then there's suffering. And you'll move through this. Eventually, you'll have to detach from this body form. And it's basically like the environment is preparing you for all of this. You know, as you get older, your body starts to malfunction, so to speak. So you're going to naturally detach, or you're going to cling to it as your own self and suffer. Because you'll be like, oh, I'm falling apart and everything's terrible. But if you know yourself in a real sense and you say, you know what? It's just proper that this illusion would slowly be fading away, that there would no longer be any kind of substance that I could say, this is happening. Because you know yourself in a real sense. I understand mind and logic. There needs to be some kind of a, why does this happen and why does that happen? But tonight you lay down, you could have an amazing story in the dream. You know? And then you could say, oh, so that's why that's happening. And then you wake up. So what's happening? What's not happening? What was true? What was false? And if there's no awareness of the dream, then there's nothing. But there's nothing other to be aware of, because there's no objectification and the arising of the first thing, I exist. There's just existence that you are, reality. Reality has no attributes. Reality has no add-ons. The add-ons are all the false. And by remaining with your selfless self, slowly, silently, and permanently, those add-ons are removed. And we're not, like Maharaj says, we're not doing any miracles here. Just removing the layers of illusion, layers of ignorance, layers of I am a body having these experiences. No, this is not true. You, how were you born? Well, the formlessness. Okay, just sit with yourself for a moment. What was born? And how can this formlessness be involved in the activities of the form within your own formlessness? A mind flow may tell you this, but how? The space in the room has no relation to any of the activity within the room. And yet, the space in the room can see inside the space in the room, using this body form to say, oh, there's a room. But no, there's not a room, because you're formless. There's an appearance of a room within your own self. And only when you start identifying with something other than yourself, do you create an experiencer. If this body gets up and walks across the room, I say, oh, I'm walking across the room. But I'm not. I'm the space. There is an object walking within my own self that appears to be walking. There is walking, but there is no one walking. There is listening, but there's no one. There is speaking, but there is no one. There's not a speaker or a listener. And that's why Maharaj says invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity. Invisible, you can't see it. You can sense it. You can feel it. And not feel in the general sense of a word that if I put my hand on this cup, I say, oh, this cup is hot. I feel it being hot. No, it's very, very subtle. Just I, just I, just I. Anonymous, because there is no identification for this formlessness. How can the space in the room be identified? Even when I say space, the space has no concept that I'm saying it's space. It's just there, like it just is. Unidentified, because there's no identification locally. How? Mind, within the dream-based illusion, the mind needs labels in order to have language. We have language. And language is naturally words describing something. But everything that can be described is in the illusion, and you're prior to words. You use words to communicate inside the dream, whether it be the waking dream or the dream, sleeping dream. And identity, when it's unidentified identity, this identity is invisible, anonymous, and unidentified. So I say, oh, so that I am that. This just I, just I, just I. And now this just I isn't an individual. How can it be? And yet it's within all individuals. It's within all of everything. It's playing as everything. So now what happens when this body dies? Okay, it's playing as all of everything. You are that. You may no longer have a local address. You've moved. You are now the entire universe. But you're the entire universe now. This appearance is not true. It's a temporary false address. Like if you called up the pizza guy and said, oh, I live at such and such and such and such. And then you stood and you watched. He's knocking on this door. Nobody's home. Oh, look at that pizza guy. He's delivering to the wrong address. That's you. That's why Maharaj says, when you say, oh, where's the Nashik ashram? And you give the directions to the Nashik ashram. And okay, now you're here. You don't need the directions any longer. This is your permanent address. This is a temporary address. And the permanent address doesn't live or die or experience.
From that sense, nothing ever happened.
Correct.
And all that there is like in a even there, even the happening is like, that's like the I am, like that's even itself can like relaxing, but that's the happening is ultimately an appearance too. Like,
yes.
All right, yeah, from that makes the whole question like irrelevant.
it's just, and only remember, every question is a doubt about your formlessness. still should be asked, because there's a position of taking and saying, what happens when this happens? But in knowing yourself in a real sense, then it's like, that's why Maharaj says you are the answer to all questions. Because as you just did, you just said, okay, wait a minute. If you're just the formlessness, then it renders the question irrelevant, because nothing is real. The only reality is the reality that never changes. And all the changes that are appearing within the reality and all the things that are being seen. That's why Maharaj says too, remain with the seer and not the seen. All the seeing things that you can see come and go. The seer is constant, but seer is not in this body form. And that's where you just remain. Just die. I without anything, which is the entire universe. So now what happens when the universe dies? Or the space in the room? How can the space in the room be born or die? Even like, okay, I'm in this apartment. If this building falls down, the space will no longer be in this specific room, but it doesn't like, oh no, I'm in the rest of the space. It never was this specific room. It's inside and outside, and the room is within the space. And the appearance of a room is created because of the concept of there's a room. That's why they talk about the space inside the cup, and the space outside the cup is the same space. And Maharaj uses the example, the ashram and the toilet. Does the toilet space go to hell and the ashram space go to heaven? And now tornado comes and knocks the whole thing down. How to separate this? Which space was previously the toilet space that was going to hell, and then the ashram space that was going to heaven? And now the question comes, oh, so I can do whatever I feel like doing inside this dream world, because it's a dream, I can do whatever I want. But then there's going to be identification as a doer. Doing whatever you want. So you're deeper and deeper and deeper in more trouble, because now there's an identification that, you know what, it's a dream, I can do whatever I want, you know, whatever I feel like doing. If I want to go to the store and shoplift, I'll shoplift. If I want to skip work, skip school, skip whatever, I can do that. But I'm doing then, and now there's a serious sense of doing, because I want to do these things that I feel like doing, rather than spontaneous actions. Just spontaneous actions. Whatever's in the moment, okay. And why would you do harm to any other being when they're all your own self? That's really kind of silly. That's why they talk about the dog. You know, there was this guy who he had a room full of mirrors, and he went in and he enjoyed just sitting there and looking at himself in all these mirrors, and he was totally at peace. And he knew that all these images of himself were only one. Then this little dog comes in and sees himself, and he's freaking out. He's barking at the mirrors. He's attacking the mirrors. And the dog drops dead of a heart attack, fighting with all these different dogs, because he saw separation. He saw individual somethings that could do him harm, because he believed he was something individual. Whereas the sage, when he looked into the mirrors, he knew that all of these reflections are my own self. These are projections, reflections. And I'm not going to argue with them. I'm not going to be mean to them or attack them. And even in the deepest sense, when you see people and they're talking to you, and even if they're supposedly, quote, being irritating, like Maharaj says, number one, you just ignore these people who are irritating, because they're your own self. And they're put there so that you can know yourself in a real sense. See, when you know yourself in a real sense and you know the entire world is projected, then you'll start to understand that any thoughts, ideas, or beliefs you're holding about yourself will seemingly be projected into the world that you're seemingly in. But when you know yourself in the real sense, it's just appearances. Appearing, disappearing, appearing, disappearing, appearing, disappearing. And you're not appearing or disappearing. All these things are just, I think Maharaj says, you're sitting and everything's moving around you. And you'll know this. You know this now, but then a doubt comes because of the doubt about your formless, you are the universe. Then suddenly you say, oh, but wait a minute. I don't experience that all the time. Well, the I that you are doesn't experience. The I that you are not, experiences come and go because you're removing layers that are false and they're then the reality. And then you're rebuilding the layers that are false based on the concept of this is happening. I'm experiencing this. This seems to be interesting. This seems to be boring.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out today, where at what point is it that I'm able to discern that I'm not wrapped up in my thoughts, and then at what point is it that I become wrapped up in my thoughts? And it just it occurred to me that it's when I start to think of. That there are differences. It's when my mind starts to recognize differences, that it gets, or that something, it identifies that something exists. That maybe not even a difference, even to say it's when identification happens is when it happens, I guess.
Yeah, when there's no pressure of like, I am nothing. I know I'm nothing. Nothing can happen to nothing. If I become something, then I've created an object in which I can take abuse or I can take trouble. This goes back to the hat, hanging the hat on a hook. If there's no hook on the wall and you go to put your hat, it slides down and you cannot hang it. But if there's a hook, you can hang the hat. And the hook is, I am somebody else, on which concepts can hang. Or as Maharaj says, the sticky concepts, the ones that stick to you, because there's a you to stick to.
Yeah, you guys used to talk about, or even from the beginning of these talks, you talked about you're making an other out of yourself.
Yes.
And that's... That's the point where it happens, I guess. So that's,
and in the body-based illusion, the concept of samadhi is that you do not know yourself. You have no touch of your own self. This is the concept of samadhi. As Maharaj says, this is for spiritual discipline, whatever, but it's not true. But in the body-based illusion, they have the concept of samadhi, and samadhi is when you do not know yourself as something separate. You just sort of here. In reality, when you know yourself in a real sense, whether there's a body or there isn't a body, you are. So all of the activities that are going on inside your own self, you are separate from these. I think Nisargadatta Maharaj says, what is the shape of the knowledge in a library? Library houses a lot of knowledge. What is the shape or the form of the knowledge that the library is out of?
To my ordinary mind or somebody listening to this, they might say, well, that's a total contradiction of the whole purpose of explaining things as non-duality, because there is no separation. And then you say, well, you're completely separate from all your experience.
Well, because there's no experience, no experiencer. And the only way you can experience something is to create the illusion of separation. And you do that by I exist. And then I am somebody. Because the sense of existence came along with the body. Without a body, there's no sense of existence. Therefore, there's no illusion of duality. You have to have this I exist. I exist as this form. And now there's a world in which this body is existing in that I am this. These are the thought process of the creation of you. Just think in this moment, without a body, who are you? And now, like Maharaj says, Master has told you, you are not body. Trust and faith in the Master. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. Then who am I? We say, okay, if you sit in meditation, you're invisible. You can't see yourself, but you can feel this subtle, just I, presence. If you're identified with a body, you can say, okay, this is the presence of God. Here's myself and the presence of God. So now with the concept of having a body, I will surrender to this presence of God. And by doing this, then you are, like it's talked about, a ice cube in a glass of water that just dissolves and becomes the water. Because now I'm saying I'm a separate something. And that's where they get into bhakti. Okay, I'm surrendering to this presence of God. And eventually then there's the understanding that presence is all there is. And if I am not body, and there's presence, then where is the separation?
It seems like there's separation.
Of a body.
Why do you have to worship something other than yourself? That's like the reason mind, that seems like you're creating a separation, but actually it's all you, I guess. So.
Yeah, because once you sense this presence and you say, okay, this presence is God, now I'm starting to identify with this presence rather than this body form. It's not separation. It's the unwinding of the illusion of separation that I am something separate. Because remaining with yourself as self.
Or the anybody else is separate too.
Yep, well, you'll know this because that's why it's a direct experience of your own self. And it's quite okay in the beginning to say, okay, in meditation, I sense this presence. And from where I am right now, I understand that I am sensing this presence, which I will use the concept of God. This is the God. My existence is the proof that God exists, because here's this presence. This is God. And now I surrender anything that, and this is exactly when I went to Maharaj and I said, you know, everything that I am, I surrender at your feet, at the feet of this presence in the form of Maharaj. Because while I believe myself to be a form, I need to worship with form. If I believe myself to be a form and I'm worshiping formlessly, or worse, I say, I am God. Yeah, that's a little bit crazy. Because this phenomenon that does not exist is now claiming itself to be God.
Take out the bullshit detector at that point.
Exactly. You are.